The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Ooh la la, another interesting day, Rolene.
I tell you, has it ever been? I don't know. It certainly feels like third time lucky. By third time lucky, I think that the one thing that we're lucky is that we possibly are not going to a fourth election. But it's still too early to tell. But all indicators are that we're probably not going to head to a fourth election.
And why do you say that, Rolene? Because as far as I understand, no bloc has more than 61.
No one block has more than 61, but we have it on authority from the kingmaker himself, Avigdor Lieberman, whose party did not show so strongly this time around. However, he is still the kingmaker. He said that he will do absolutely everything in his power to not not allow for a situation where we face a fourth election. But having said this, this is where we stand as follows. So not all votes have been counted. They are taking a while to count, and we probably will only have the final results published on Monday. This doesn't mean we won't know the final results, it's that they will only officially be published on Monday. So where we stand, we look as follows: about 97% of the votes in. Likud is a likely winner, although the Kahol v'Levan, the blue and white, closed the gap quite significantly during the course of the day. So the Likud are sitting with 36 seats to Kahol v'Levan's 32, the joint list on 15 seats, and various others on about 6 and 7, but Yisrael Biteinu on 7 seats. But earlier today, Israel's corruption watchdog, they filed a petition with the High Court against Prime Minister Netanyahu. They said that it's against the law to form a government if you've been indicted. However, prior to the election, Israel's Attorney General Avichai Mandelbilt said that, you know, should the Likud or should Netanyahu be the party that is victorious, he will allow for the Prime Minister to form that coalition. So this all remains to be seen what will happen from now. Gantz has not conceded. He has said we will respect the voters' decision, and we will only know until we really, really know. But in the meantime, the Prime Minister's trial starts on March the 17th. So he is going to want to try and get any coalition sorted out before that. He's under pressure now, and we heard moments ago from the more right-wing party saying that they won't exclude Avigdor Lieberman. You know, one of the hold-ups to the previous coalition is they refused to sit with each other. And now they've realized that you're dealing with an electorate who will not put up with this nonsense again. We don't want to go to elections. We want a working government. It's very important that it is in place. It's very important that budgets start getting passed, so that very important portfolios like education, like health can be managed. But a while ago, Prime Minister Netanyahu ended his meetings in the Knesset with the heads of the various parties in the right-wing religious bloc. So now let's see how we go. Let the horse trading begin.
So a couple of issues. First one, I want to go to a listener's comment, Rolene. Mervyn weighing in saying, question for Rolene, where is Bibi going to find two more seats?
Well, it's a good question. This is this will all come down to the coalition. Remind you that not all the votes are in, but I don't know if there will be enough to warrant two more seats. So let's see how the coalition building goes ahead.
Then I've got two comments which I'm interested in your opinion on. The first is, surely this has to be the end of Gantz. I mean, if he couldn't do it three times running, couldn't dislodge Netanyahu, surely this has to, you know, put his political future in doubt.
I don't necessarily say that. I think that Gantz has proven that he can give the Prime Minister a real run for his money, pun intended. He's also a man of incredible integrity, and he's made a promise to his supporters, to his followers, that he will get on with the business of getting on with it, whether this means sitting in a coalition or becoming the opposition or whatever it is. You know, he's given the Prime Minister a shock. I think he's, for somebody who's a rookie politician, he certainly has woken the country up, and he's woken the Prime Minister up that, you know, you will get quite a run. And people are saying that this is more of a defeat for Blue and White than a victory for Likud. I don't see it that way. I think that this was a tremendous showing in all three elections by Kahol v'Levan. And, you know, there were different indicators in each of these three elections, and hopefully we're done with the elections for now, that we won't go to a fourth. There were different indicators. You know, we've come on this one on the back of the Trump peace plan, and that may have had an impact. So, you know, this is Israeli politics. It's never simple.
And then the thing that I absolutely do not understand at all is that really, at the end of the day, in my mind, Kahol v'Levan was disaffected Likudniks who decided they were going to put up an option to Netanyahu. You could potentially have the largest, strongest middle bloc government that Israel has ever had if a certain gentleman would just step out of the way.
Well, let's see how we go with that. Let's see how we go with that, because now I don't think the country would take too kindly to any deadlock. Now the big job is end this deadlock. Otherwise, you're going to have a mutiny on your hands. And by mutiny, I mean the citizens of this country will not take another election.
Well, that's what I was just thinking. I wonder what it'll take to get Israelis onto the streets to say no more. Just no more. You know, sort this out one way or another. You deserve better, all of you. Okay, so we will watch the election results with great interest over the next couple of days, and the haggling and etc. And then you wanted to talk to us about how we teach young people about Israel.
Well, yesterday we were discussing this. We were discussing that there is a chasm, and we spoke specifically about America. But I think that, you know, those of us who work in Israel education or Israel advocacy, depends what you like to call it. I like to call it Israel education. The way that we interact with the younger generation, bearing in mind that they respond and they do things differently to the way that we might have, that they are in or on platforms that are different to what we're doing. And I'm of the opinion, and I'd love to hear from the listeners, we've got to be better listeners. And this is my opinion. I find often when I speak, if a young person comes up with a question that may be controversial or a statement that may be controversial, people tend to shut them down immediately. And I think that this is very, very counterproductive. I think that we have to open the tent to everybody and have those uncomfortable discussions. Let the younger generation ask those difficult questions, because if we shut them down, we shut them out. That's my opinion, and I see it happening in the States. I see it happening all over the world with organized bodies, because the younger people respond to different issues than we have. And I'm also of the opinion that, you know, Israel's flawed, as is every country in the world. Sure. There's no utopia, and we held maybe to a different standard. But it's okay to speak about those flaws. I don't know what you think, Simon.
I think you've got a battle on your hands. I think you're losing the youth. I think it's becoming very, you know, I think being politically correct is taking over from thinking for yourself, and I think we're all in a bit of trouble because of that. So, yeah.
I think that's a very good point, but I want to clarify. I'm not saying be politically correct. I'm saying have those uncomfortable discussions. And sometimes the uncomfortable discussions mean we have to be politically incorrect in order to get a point across. But I think we can't shut them out and shut them down.
You know, there was a tiny little article at the bottom of the Times of Israel yesterday, which just blew my head away. Apparently, there's going to be some sort of a gay film festival held and sponsored by the Tel Aviv municipality or something. 100 gay film directors, etc., have decided to boycott the festival because they deem it to be pinkwashing. And I think if you've got to that stage, that people who would be strung up and hanged in Gaza are not seeing Israel for what it is, the battle's kind of, I don't know, there's a big battle to be had.
But this is where we really call upon the LGBTQ community who are proudly Zionists. We need your voices. Come out, challenge the intolerance. Come out and speak up for Israel, and also speak up for people from the LGBTQ communities in the Palestinian territories, where they are not allowed as much liberty and acceptance and what we have in the state of Israel. This is where we all need to start being voices and start using them effectively.
And that is why we love talking to you, because you are a strong and important voice. Rolene Marks, look forward to chatting to you same time tomorrow.
Same time tomorrow.